Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato joined now by Kevin Seifert, who covers the NFC North for ESPN.com. And Kevin, the Super Bowl champs are in this division, but Detroit seems to be the sexy team right now.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because it's been so long since we've had a reason to talk about the Lions in such a positive light, but a lot of interesting players, a lot of fun combinations, a lot of attention being paid to them, and it's going to, at the very least, this is going to be a four-team division for the first time in a long time.
I think, Kevin, what makes you take notice when you're playing the third preseason game and you're playing New England, and New England has dominated the two teams they've played thus far, and then to have Detroit dominate them, especially up front, without Fairley and without Vandenbosch.
Yeah, I mean, that was amazing. I mean, I think it's only fair to point out the Lions were taking this game very seriously in terms of demonstrating how far they've come and impressing their crowd and being on national television, whether it was a preseason or not. I think the Patriots are very professional and probably have a more experienced view of how preseason should go. But that said, Ndamukong Suh and Corey Williams and Cliff Averill, the three starters that are left there that played the other night, really just dominated that line and really battered Tom Brady in a way you don't see happen in too many preseason games. Usually guys get taken out before they take five hits and two sacks and throw an interception and really get off their rhythm. You don't see that happen too much, especially to Tom Brady. They really got him out of his rhythm, and his accuracy suffered. And so that is something, at the very least, that future opponents starting with Tampa Bay in week one are going to have to take very seriously, that the Lions are going to get after them pass rush-wise and are going to make it real hard for their quarterback to get into any kind of rhythm.
Kevin, one of the subplots of this whole preseason is Ndamukong Suh, and is he a dirty player? In your mind, is he a dirty player?
Yeah, I think he walks that line. I haven't seen him do anything blatantly disrespectful of the rules or to the game, but he plays hard and he's mean. I mean, he's definitely mean on the field. We saw him tackle Marion Barber by the hair last year. We've seen him rip Jake DeLome's helmet off and hit Andy Dalton this year in preseason hard enough that his helmet came off. But I don't think he's intentionally trying to go around the rules to hurt people, which to me would be the definition of dirty. I just think he's an ultra-aggressive player who pushes it to the line and occasionally has gone beyond it through the avenue of aggression as opposed to being dirty. So I don't think he's there yet, but I do think that he's had enough sort of instances that have drawn attention that he's gonna be under scrutiny by officials and the NFL. He's going to get fined a lot for relatively minor offenses, and if in doubt, he's going to get that 15-yard penalty, and that's really going to hurt the Lions until he can rein that part in. But I don't think he's trying to hurt people intentionally per se.
Hey, Kevin, why did the Vikings just get so frustrated and fed up with Bryant McKinnon that they just dumped him?
Yeah, I mean, you look back at his history, and they have really coddled him through a lot of issues, you know, starting with that holdout. You know, he missed half the season as a rookie because of a contract holdout. Doesn't happen very often. A lot of off-field instances, none of them really, really bad, but definitely displaying a lack of maturity. His conditioning was way up and way down. He had a down year last year, vowed to come to training camp in better shape than ever, and instead he was almost 400 pounds. And my understanding is his cholesterol levels were sky high too, which is obviously indicative of future health problems. And, you know, they're starting a new regime here with Leslie Frazier. And I think they just kind of got done, you know, his age, you know, of hoping that he was going to be more mature and more professional in terms of taking care of himself, and they weren't willing to start off this new program having to deal with that situation. It's obviously going to hurt them on the field. You don't just go out and get a left tackle 3 days before training camp, so they're going to have some struggles there. But I think just after 7-8 years of sort of coddling him and hoping he would figure it out, I think they just took this opportunity of the new coaching staff and regime and just said, let's move on.
Kevin, if Donovan McNabb didn't work at all in Washington, why will it work in Minnesota?
Not totally sure it will. I do think that he, in the short period, has developed a pretty decent relationship with the offensive coordinator, Bill Musgrave, who you guys probably remember from when he was with the Redskins, obviously, and been around the league. And Bill has been very open about going to Donovan and saying, you know, what do you like? What do you want me to build in terms of scheme? What can we do that will help you? And that's obviously in contrast to what Donovan felt he experienced last year with the Redskins. So at the very least, on a sort of emotional and mental level, he's gotten off to a better start here than he got off to in Washington. But obviously, the question about whether his skills have diminished still needs to be answered. And there's still a lot of things that have to come together when you take your first snap with a team on August 4th and it's a new scheme and everybody's getting used to each other. So I'm not totally sure that this is going to be a bounce back year so far for Donovan, but I do think it's gotten off to a little bit of a better start than what he had in Washington.
Kevin, it seems like the Bears have a lot of questions on offense, starting with the offensive line, number one, and then wide receivers. Do they have enough skill people to make plays for Cutler?
Well, that's a fair question to ask when you look at their roster. I mean, they've definitely taken a philosophical turn towards the running game and the power running game, which is a little bit at odds with what Mike Martz has traditionally done. But they have Forte, and they signed Marion Barber, and they built a big offensive line that they're hoping will develop through a lot of run blocking as opposed to a lot of pass blocking, and that's really the direction they're going in. They traded Greg Olsen, so they're obviously not planning to use the tight end in the passing game a whole lot. But I think they were counting on a little bit more consistency than at least what they've gotten so far from Roy Williams, and it'll work if Roy Williams can be anywhere close to the type of receiver he was in Detroit for Martz for a couple of years. But to this point, he really has no connection with Jay Cutler, which is a little disturbing and has definitely dropped and or let some catchable balls fall to the ground too often already. And so that part has not gotten off to a good start. Cutler has a pretty good relationship with Earl Bennett, who he played with at Vanderbilt, and also Devin Hester. But I think that's a fair question. I'm not sure if they have enough explosion on offense and enough reliable receivers to make their passing game work. And so that's going to put a ton of pressure on Matt Forte and Marion Barber to carry this offense.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with Kevin Seifert, who covers the NFC North for ESPN.com here on 105.7 The Fan. Kevin, how much are the contract situations of Forte and Lance Briggs going to be a distraction to this team?
Well, the Forte thing, they got to figure that out at some point. He's a young running back who's perfect for the Martz offense in terms of his pass catching skills and his open field running ability. And he's making the league minimum this year in the final year of his deal. So that seems like that's a matter of time before that happens. They have a ton of cap space, and maybe it doesn't happen until the middle of the season or the end of the season. But you would think that they're going to get that taken care of. And Forte had talked about holding out a camp, and then he talked about not participating in the preseason, but he's obviously dropped both of those things. So there's really doesn't appear yet to be a ton of urgency at least not concern on either side. They're working on it. The Lance Briggs thing kind of in some ways came out of nowhere. He's got 3 years left on his deal. One of those front-loaded deals where he got all the guaranteed money and more than half of the total financials were earned in the first 3 years, and now he's in a situation that a lot of veterans find themselves, and they're locked in a long-term deal with no more guaranteed money and fairly low base salaries. And I don't know if he's going to get anywhere on that. The Bears, not many teams are going to open up a six-year deal halfway through just because the guaranteed money has run out. I mean, that's kind of the deal that you agree to ahead of time. And so I don't think he's going to be a distraction in terms of demanding a mid-season trade or declaring that he's going to never play in Chicago again or anything along those lines. But I do think it sort of sets up a potential separation after the season. He'll be 31, and do you really want to pay premium money to a 31-year-old linebacker? But I don't think it'll cause too many ripples during the season.
Kevin, what can hold Green Bay back from winning the division again?
Normally most teams you say injuries, and then you look at what happened last year, and they had as many injuries as any team in the NFL, and they overcame them. Obviously Rodgers has to stay on the field. They have a pretty decent backup in Matt Flynn, but any team that would lose a Pro Bowl-type quarterback is going to certainly have its challenges ahead of them. But short of that, I really do think that they're not only set to be the obvious preseason favorites this year, but really for in this division, but really for years to come, given the youth of their roster and the depth they have at important positions. I think it would really be a surprise to a lot of people if they ended up not winning this division.
How good can JerMichael Finley be?
He could be the best. You know, he's a legitimate 6'5" player, is 240 pounds, and can play receiver. You know, that's what he worked on all offseason to do, is to, as he said, stand up as much as he could this year. And they can split him out wide like a split end or a flanker, as a lot of teams might do with an actual wide receiver. And he's a total mismatch, obviously, for any cornerback or even a linebacker that would try to defend him. They had a play the other night in Indy where he had single coverage against a linebacker and just ran right past him. Rodgers saw it from the moment the ball was snapped and just put a perfect pass where a 6'5" guy with long arms is the only guy that can bring it down, and it was totally and completely unstoppable. And that's really the level that he brings to this offense. And I mean, they won the Super Bowl, went to the second half of last season without him. Imagine what they can do if they're smart enough to incorporate him in a good way, and while also maintaining the rest of their skilled players also. You know, the sky's the limit for that guy as long as he can stay healthy.
Hey, Kevin, let me put you on the spot a little bit. Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota, Detroit, how's it play out?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't see any way the Packers shouldn't win this division. To me, you know, I look at the Vikings being in a rebuilding type situation. A lot of better players than you would normally have in a rebuilding situation, but that's where they are. So I kind of put them at the bottom. And the real question in this division is, who do you put second? Who do you put third? Lions or Bears? And I'm kind of jumping on the Lions bandwagon at this point. You know, it could go either way. But if I had to say today to you, who do I think will finish second and potential be a wild card, I'm going to say the Lions and put the Bears in there at number three.
How many wins do you think Detroit can – Green Bay wins, what, 10, 11, 12, and Detroit wins 9, 10?
Yeah, I think the Packers could be an 11, 12-win team. The Lions, yeah, I'd say, you know, if they're going to finish second in this division, you're probably going to need 9 wins. I put them right there. You know, who knows how things go and whether that means they could be a wild card team or not, but I'd put them right above that, you know, one or two games above 500.
Kevin Seifert covers the NFC North for ESPN.com. Kevin, last thing before I let you go, how much do you miss covering the Orioles?
it seems so long ago. The last year I covered them was the last year they made the playoffs, I think. So that it feels like decades ago. I was very sad to hear about Mike Flanagan, who I had a good relationship with when he was a broadcaster. But I can't believe that it's been so long that they've made the playoffs, and I think I could have found something better to do than sit through years and years of last place finishes.
Kevin Seifert, thank you so much for your
time. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, guys, thanks.